The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely. Hi, Armand.
Hi, Jimmy.
This episode, we're going to be kicked off by none other than
Mary Beard.
Who else? The Mary Beard.
The Mary Beard, yes.
Wow.
Britain's best known classicist. And she's provided a little comment for us about a phrase which I think a lot of people will have heard of, but may not know the origins of. Oh. Alia jacta est. The die is cast, so that's how it's normally translated. Let's hear what she has to say about it.
Hello, Jimmy and Armand. This is Mary Beard here, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've got to say about one of my favourite ancient phrases, the one we usually translate as the die is cast. Spoken by Julius Caesar in Greek, actually, not Latin, as he crossed the river Rubicon to start the civil war against Pompey. It's a special phrase for me because I think it's usually so terribly misinterpreted. It's almost always seemed to mean something like fate has now been decided, whereas I think it means something much more like, oh well, it's all up in the air now. Let's see what happens. It's also a phrase that takes me back to when I first learned it, and I'm afraid it was probably the wrong interpretation. I first learned it from my wonderful Latin teacher at Shrewsbury High School in the late 1960s and early 70s. And I can still picture those lessons we had up in the school attic, learning, I guess, the excitement of the ancient world. Also, very definitely, the virtues of hard work. So, guys, I'm wanting to know what you make of it.
There we are.
Thank you, Mary. I learnt my classics in the late 60s, early 70s. And we were stuck in an attic, but in a rectory building miles away from the main school building, like we were some kind of in an open prison. So anyway, let's get to this expression, alia jacta est.
Yes.
The die is cast is used by posh politicians like Jacob Rees-Mogg. He's always quoting bits of Latin, the die is cast. So can you just say who said it, when he said it, and who's writing about him saying it?
So in fact, it's quoted by Suetonius, who's a Roman historian of the 2nd century AD, who writes about the lives of the Caesars. And he quotes it as Julius Caesar, who is about to cross the Rubicon, which is the river that divides Gaul, as it was known, Cisalpine Gaul, Gaul just on this side of the Alps, from Italy proper, bringing his army into Rome, which of course was not allowed. So he has to make the decision.
What the Roman Senate said, the Rubicon is a kind of boundary across which you can't.
That was a boundary. That was one of the boundaries across which, if you brought your army across it, you were essentially declaring war on the Senate and the Roman people. So Caesar, who is about to cross the Rubicon, is then quoted as saying by Suetonius, in fact, jacta alia est, because, of course, Latin word order is not the same. Yeah. You can do various different things. So tossed is the dice.
Yes.
And actually, what we are told is that he said it in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Greek, the words are from the comic poet Menander. It's from a play called Rephoroi, which means the Carriers of Sacred Objects.
It's not a snappy title, is it?
Not a snappy title, and it's a play that didn't survive, possibly for good reason.
Yeah, no, Menander definitely needs to work on his titles.
And, of course, you know, Romans were always quoting Greek, educated Romans. It was a rhetorical technique. It showed their erudition. It was something that, if you were clever, you had learned, and Caesar was certainly very learned and erudite.
And slightly pretentious, clearly.
Well, maybe.
It's like the way we use French words.
Exactly, a little bit like that. You know, there's a bit of a je ne sais quoi to using...
So very pretentious then, yes.
Pretentious, moi? No, I think not. But I think it was one of those phrases which was in people's minds.
Yes.
In the back of, you know, a lot of Romans probably would have known it. And they would have liked it, especially if they were, like Caesar, rather gambling types of people.
Yeah. So he's there on the Rubicon.
Yeah.
Who did he say this to?
Well, we aren't told that.
Okay.
We just said he used those words. Now, whether it's true or not is completely secondary to the fact that it's a good story and it's told by Suetonius. He may have said it, he may not have done, he may have been heard saying it. It may have been one of those things which people attributed to him as having said. But there he is, quoting this Greek phrase from the play by Menander. We don't know the context of how it's said in the play. But in Greek, what it actually means is, let the die be cast, not the die is cast. And that makes a huge difference. Mm. And I think it was something that Mary was hinting at.
Yes.
About the interpretation, because let the die be cast is, right, let's roll the dice and see what they come up with. So ancient dice tended to have six sides. They were six-sided dice. Mm-hmm. They were called tesserae. And, you know, the numbers would come up. And I think one of the ways of winning the game was getting three of the same numbers on the surface, something of that kind. So let's see where our numbers come up, is what he says, and they're ripto kubos in Greek. Kubos, of course, from which we get the word cube. Mm. So some dice were obviously cubic. Mm. And at this point, 49 BC, January the 10th, this is when he crosses the Rubicon. As you say, it's a decisive moment, but he doesn't know what's going to happen. So to say the die is cast, it's definitely now all settled, is what it sounds like, is not quite right. We'll say, let's see where this is going to go now.
So the die has not yet fallen on the table and become still, and we can see what the value is. It's in the air.
Exactly. It's right. Still spinning.
Then the translation of alia iacta est, because Mary alluded to it, isn't that the die is cast, things are set in stone, it's things are up in the air. Hmm. And of course, Sherlock Holmes had his expression, didn't he, at the beginning of...
The game's afoot.
Watson.
Yes, so that would
I'll
be
play Watson
the translation of iacta alia est.
So he's crossed the Rubicon and has probably then changed the course of Roman history forever.
Well, he did change the course of Roman history by essentially becoming the dictator. He was then killed, and his descendants started the dynasty of the Julio-Claudian emperors.
Yes, because now you're talking about the results of the expression alia iacta est. After the die was cast, there was chaos, wasn't there?
Well, I mean, for a couple of years, there was some sort of stability under Caesar's dictatorship.
Who really technically was never...
He was not an emperor, no.
No.
So he made himself dictator, which was a particular emergency position that you could if you were a Roman leader. But then, you know, dictator for life. And the Republicans, those who wanted then to restore the actual republic, not under the rule of one powerful man with an army behind him, the Republicans under Brutus and Cassius, then decided that he has to die. Mm. And so they stabbed him to death in the Senate, in that famous The Ides of March. Mm. And he came up with another lapidary phrase, et tu, Brute, according to Shakespeare.
Do we know if he really said that?
Well, no, that's just the line given to him by Shakespeare in Julius Caesar.
So what was said then, did you think?
Oh, according to the sources, the you know, the original sources, nothing.
Caesar. Well, no, ow.
Ouch.
Ow. Ow, what are you doing?
Get me out of here.
What is that? Brutus, Brutus. Is that a knife in your pocket? Are you just pleased to see me? Yeah.
But in fact, Suetonius again does tell us that he said in Greek,
yes,
you too, son.
My son, yes, yes.
So in Greek, Kai su technon, or perhaps at this stage it would have been pronounced kesu technon, rather as modern Greeks do, means literally, and you son. And so people have sort of come up with all sorts of theories. Was Brutus actually Caesar's son?
Mm.
No, surely not. No. You know, he's saying...
Like a son.
Young man, yes. He's a dear friend. He was his friend. And then the question is, are you too involved in killing me? Is normally how that is interpreted. But actually, it sounds... I mean, I just last week I was in the Bernanke Museum in Athens, and I saw a first century epitaph with the words, Kai Su and you. And what it's saying is, you two are going to die.
Mm.
And so I think this is probably the interpretation. It says, it's going to be your turn next, Sonny.
Oh, right.
Kai Su Teknon.
So it's not an expression of betrayal then.
No.
It's a dying man pointing the finger at the...
Yeah, you're going to go next. And in fact, 2 years later,
he's right.
Brutus was indeed killed at the Battle of Philippi in 42 BC.
Which was between those who wanted, or claimed they wanted, to restore the Republic and those who were out supposedly to avenge Julius Caesar, like Octavius and his forces.
And so the die doesn't settle until 32 BC.
Well, 31 is the Battle of Actium when... Octavius, as he was then, defeats Mark Antony and Cleopatra's forces at the Battle of Actium. And then he becomes Rome's first emperor and eventually is given this title of the August One, the Blessed One, Augustus.
And it's funny, they named him after the month.
Well, that's when he did it. Oh, yes, it was August. Let's call him Augustus. Yeah. Well, of course, it was the other way around. The sixth month of the year, as it then was, Sextilis.
So how did we get August like we have August today then?
Well, I think it's a bit odd for us because what we have is a series of months with different names.
Yes.
Ending with August. And then we have months with numbers.
Yeah.
So September means the 7th, October the 8th, November, November. So September, Octo, November, Decem. So what, there are 10 months in the year? No.
No,
because it depends where you start.
The 10th month is the 12th month.
Yeah. Someone was suggesting the other day that why don't we just call, you know, them 7, 8, 9 and 10 and then go on Undecember and Duo December for the 11th and the 12th month.
Yeah, because that would really work.
Yeah. Anyway.
So can I just ask a question? Mm. So crossing the Rubicon is another expression that has become very aphoristic and we use that a lot, don't we? Well, not... I don't use it a lot.
In fact, this is
the first time I've used it this year, to be honest. But nevertheless, it is one of those kind of things we just throw in without even thinking about it.
I mean, so Latin is great for short, meaningful, pregnant phrases. We've looked at a few of these, Carpe Diem, Sunt Lacrimae Rerum, and so on.
They're compact.
Yes, it was a lapidary phrase. I mean, lapis, by the way, means a stone.
It's heavy.
So, well, no, it means a stone, literally.
Yes,
so
but I'm saying, but does it mean...
No, it's because... You can inscribe it on a stone,
oh.
And it stays there, and it looks...
It's permanent.
Know, permanent, and it has to be short, because you're...
Unless it's a big stone.
Well, even if it's a big stone, and you're writing in large letters, you can imagine the poor chap etching away at the stone and trying to write something, and it's got to be short, and you've got to be able to read it, a bit like the comments that were carved up on the Temple of Apollo at Delphi in Greek, know thyself.
Yes.
Gnothi sauton.
And nothing in excess.
Nothing in excess, made in agan, which you famously misquoted as nothing in moderation.
Yes. But that was a Freudian slip.
Yes. But Caesar was quite good at them. I mean, so we all know about veni, vidi, vici.
Yeah.
I came, I saw, I conquered. A great one. That was what Caesar was supposed to... He actually did write that. So we know he said that.
He could have worked for an advertising company, couldn't
Indeed.
He?
That was a great strap line. So he had won a battle that's called the Battle of Zila in modern Turkey and then Asia Minor. It took him 5 days to win that battle. And he wrote back to the Senate, veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Which, when people learned that actually it probably sounded like weenie, weedy, weeky, they found that rather worrying. It sounds a bit weenie and weedy when you say it in that way. But actually, I must tell you my little joke, which doesn't have to be recorded, but
we are recording this, by the way. So well, the pressure's on.
Okay, so, of course, there's an apocryphal story that Caesar wanted his invasion of Britain to be staged as a play. And the producer came to him and said, but Caesar, you know that all the ancient Brits were dyed in woad. It was this blue dye that they had. Surely we can't just, you know, daub our chorus members with blue dye. And Caesar said, let the cast be dyed.
That is a terrible joke. And we have recorded it, and it's now going out to the nation.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
One of the things that we talk about when we do these chats about ancient quotes and things is that how they stand the test of time. And, you know, people use the dice cast. But I bet you didn't know that Alia Jacta Est is in fact the title of the third album of the power metal band from Spain called War Cry.
Of course I knew that.
Did you?
Of course not.
It's great. It's a fantastic album. And it's actually the follow-up album to the big hit album, which was El Celo de los Tiempos, which means the seal of time. I think it's not it's like a sea lion. I think it's the seal,
yes,
the official seal. Otherwise, it'd be La Foca de los Tiempos. But I thought I'd just share that with you because I think that's, you know, there's a power metal band who are wandering around singing Alia Jacta Est. And if that isn't some kind of proof that the ancient world lives inside our psyches these days, I don't know what is. So you said, we don't know whether he said it or not. Right. But the historian Suetonius gives him this dramatic soundbite, which has now lived on for 2,500 years. We're still talking about it. Is that the license of the ancient historian then was quite a wide-reaching thing. They could invent things, which a modern historian, I think, probably would not want to do. So what was Suetonius' kind of MO in terms of coming up with the lives of these? What was his historiographical...
He would have had a lot of evidence from both previous writers and people who were descended from those who had known emperors and who had known Caesars and so on. So, I mean, we don't really know, I think, how ancient historians like Livy, like Tacitus, like Suetonius source their material. On the whole, they don't tell us.
He's writing under
Hadrian
in the second century, Hadrian, and he lived through Trajan and Hadrian, didn't he? Who were very different to the Julio-Claudians. In fact, they weren't big fans, were they?
No.
So do you think that through that prism, Suetonius is even subconsciously going to be less favourable to these characters about which he's writing?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly get a lot of scandal.
Yeah, that's what I'm hinting at, is that he couldn't resist it, could he? He
was but I mean, that makes for fun reading, doesn't it?
I studied Suetonius, I loved it. And one of the questions in my finals was, Suetonius is the News of the World reporter of his day, discussed, because he couldn't resist the tittle-tattle.
Well, you think how he traduced Caligula and Nero. You know, we learned that these emperors were monsters from Suetonius, you know. Caligula, like pulling the wings off flies and things like that.
He calls Caligula a monster, doesn't he? He says, all right, so he's an emperor, but I'm going to talk about him as a monster. So he's pretty clear about things like that. Where was he in Roman society? Was he an outsider? Was he an insider?
Suetonius. Yeah, I mean, he would have been part of the imperial circle.
See, because I read, because I did a little bit of homework. Only a little bit of homework.
This is what I thought you were.
Only a little bit of homework.
I'm so pleased to hear.
I love catching a teacher out. So he apparently became secretary to Hadrian. And by that, I mean, you know, he's this kind of amanuensis. He's there all the time, writing things down, journaling. He ends up being fired by Hadrian for having an affair with Hadrian's wife.
So now we're doing scandal on the historian.
Her name is Vibia Sabina. And apparently Suetonius and Vibia got a bit too cozy. Mm-hmm. Hadrian spotted it and gave him the boot, which actually I think is not a bad outcome. I mean, had it been under Domitian, he'd have been executed. Right. But the truth is that I laughed at that when I wrote, because he's been hoisted by his own petard. It's exactly the kind of detail that he would have loved to have written about, that somebody was involved in a sexual scandal and fell foul of the emperor. And I read he's also friends with Pliny the Younger.
Right, so now, he wrote a lot of letters.
Yes, he couldn't stop writing letters, could he, Pliny? I remember having to study thousands of them. And I used to get confused with Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger, who we'll be doing a full episode on, so make sure you subscribe for that.
Pliny the Elder died, of course, famously at the eruption of
Vesuvius. Right, so I used to get them mixed up, you know. And he was captain of the Navy, wasn't he? And he sailed out to help with Vesuvius, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he actually wanted to watch the eruption itself.
Because didn't he come up with another phrase, fortune favours the brave?
Ah, another lapidary phrase.
Didn't he?
Audaces fortuna juvat.
There you go. But what, again, it made me... No, it's horrible, actually. It's a not very nice side of myself. But he's saying to the bloke who's running the ship, no, no, we keep on going because fortune favours the brave.
Yeah.
And then the boat catches fire and he dies. Yeah. So fortune, on that occasion, didn't favour the brave, did it? Mary, I hope you're satisfied, or at least not completely appalled by some of the things we've come up with today. Just one final thing that's been kind of bugging me. The dice. I mean, how are they made? I mean, clearly, it's a gambling game. And gambling, as we know, you need to trust that the rules are in place and everybody's kind of playing fair. But surely, if they're handmade, can they not be fiddled with? And I mean, is there any evidence of people cheating at these games?
I don't know of any. I mean, I'm not an expert on ancient dice, but they're
well, who is? Let's find the expert.
Let's find the expert on ancient dice.
If you're out there, right, can you please get in touch with us? And by the way, get another hobby.
There were two types of dice that we know about, the tesserae with the six-sided ones, and the tali were four-sided. As
four-sided dice, right.
So they were four-sided.
Okay.
But I'm sure that there were all the old question about, is this dice weighted? Yes. Are they weighted and so on? There must have been all of that. You know, dice playing of some kind goes way back into antiquity. So obviously the Romans played dice, but so did the Greeks before them. Mm-hmm. And they famously used the knuckles of donkeys.
Because I remember translating something as knuckle bones.
Astragalos. It means a knuckle.
Astragalos.
A donkey's knuckle bone. And
yes.
Astragalos. And so these slightly weird-shaped objects made of bone were used. And I suppose the point is, if you know, you've got your bit of donkey bone and you throw it and it ends up this way or that way, well, there's no cheating involved. You just have to see which way it ends up.
Which way the donkey bone falls.
Yeah, that's right.
If only Caesar had said that.
Let's see which way the donkey bone will fall.
Or all his soldiers would look at each other saying, he's been drinking.
Astragalus iactus esto.
It's All Greek and Latin to Me is presented by Armin Dangour and Jimmy Melville. The producer is Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. It's All Greek and Latin to Me is a Hattrick podcast.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to give a mention to Classics for All. Classics for All is a charity, and what we want to do is provide access to the classics to as many state school pupils as possible. Alongside training teachers who don't actually have to have any previous training in the subject, they hope that they make classics a sustainable part of the school curriculum. If you want to find out more about this fantastic charity, go to the website. It's www.classicsforall.org.uk.